Look him up at ozequipment.com. Dylan Buckley, Michael Barlow. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
G'day, Andrew. I tried to ring Shane Bennett from Oz Equipment Rentals on the way in. He's doing a course. He's doing some work today on a Wednesday. So shout out to Shane and the team, but good to be in. You're doing a good job, Andrew.
Well, you might notice I wear very white pants because it's about the only pants I fit into. That's the colour that Gareth's face went yesterday when he was off air. He was not in a good way.
We sent a text, didn't we, Dil, to the group saying, hope you're getting better, Cobber, and... how many reply? What was the reply?
Nothing. And you know what was really good about Gareth on the weekend too? He's very active on the socials. He's really building this, what is it, a nostalgic brand around, you know, the confidential and whatnot. And he's doing some selfies.
Yeah, I know. Honest.
Did you see that? That was fantastic. I really like that.
He's bordering on influencer.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
He's got a few contra deals, I'd imagine. He wears a lot of Ralph Lauren, I reckon, doesn't he?
Does he ever?
Yeah.
What's that one?
This is one of Gareth's old ones. Very, very vintage.
Not great for radio, me pointing at your hat.
He got set 20 white Ralph Lauren polo hats and he's given you one.
Good on him.
Good on him. Now, gents, I wanted to, first of all, ask you, Dil, how'd the running go on the weekend at GWS?
I've really let some people down lately. You know, one's my family, and that was probably just since, you know, my whole life so far. But one is also Mick Barlow and the GWS Giants, and also nearly the Carlton VFL. I've committed to all three of them to be their runner this year and have yet to even do one of them.
So, Andrew, the pregame, Andrew, so for those listening, it was GWS versus Werribee in the VFL, a return to the VFL competition on Saturday. And Dil, in the preseason, had committed to running for Werribee, being our second runner. Understandably busy, maybe do 10 games. Okay, got start of the season, can't do it essentially. I've committed to do GWS and, you know, if we have that game, then it's a conflict of interest, all of that. I get to the game, no crowd, nothing happening at the game. GWS are there, which is good, and there's someone wearing pink running around ready to run for GWS. And it did not look like Dylan.
Well, you've just said it there. No crowd, no Dil Buckley. Okay? So I only like playing in front of the 80,000 G. That's when I was best in. It was sad that I never got picked for them. But as you said, I have let a few people down and I do need to get in there. And it is hard because my two biggest weaknesses is one, I care too much. And two, I don't like letting people down. So I commit to things, say I'm going to do them, and then I end up sort of letting
people down. It was a tight game at quarter time. GWS up by 3 points. The runner was very influential in the first quarter. Couldn't run out the game, whereas Dil is really fit at the moment.
Elite.
Could have added another layer to the GWS VFL operation.
Consider yourself
lucky. He was walking the dog when I FaceTimed him pregame.
Right.
To make sure that, you know, he wasn't going to make the late appearance, but all is well. Good to have footy back, Andrew, at all levels.
Yes, absolutely. And I was one who had a coffee and walked laps of a local oval, pretending I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
So now, the Dylan Buckley Cup last week, of course, GWS and
huge.
Carlton as well. What did you take out of that from both teams' perspective, but especially the Blues, where the heat's on at the moment?
The heat is on, isn't it? And it feels like it's been on my whole life, to be honest. You know, I've had 6 years there and I really do feel for the players. It's not an enjoyable place to be. Mick, I don't know if you're at the Gold Coast, but it's not really the same. When you're playing for one of those big four clubs, the expectation and all these things on the not just the club, but the players and the coaches, everything, it does get overwhelming. And I nearly think that is sometimes why Carlton struggle to get out of this rut, because it's so... the decisions that are made are very subjective to what's happening. It's, you know, this is my biggest thing that I get annoyed with Carlton. It's like, oh, the coach isn't working, let's sack him. And then a coach gets sacked. This isn't working, let's do this. It changes. It's like, I just for once want them to stick to their plan, not do a review, and just stick to the process. I've said it every week for the last 6 weeks. Richmond did it with Damien Hardwick. They set a goal. They didn't waver from it. I just want Carlton to do the same thing, and I think that's what a lot of the supporters want them to do, is just back themselves in. And at the moment, I just feel like a lot of decisions from outside noise gets inside the walls and things start to crack.
Do you, and this is a question for you as well, in terms of the outside noise and the rumblings at board level like we always hear, the Collingwood players would have gone through it earlier this year, Carlton are obviously going through it at the moment. Do you ever hear that, try to ignore it? Does it infiltrate your life when you don't want it to? Does that ever get through to the playing group?
I think it does. It's the nature of the industry is it's so big, it's hard to avoid. And Dylan just alluded to the fact Carlton are, you know, one of the big clubs, one of the biggest clubs in the land. So there's no hiding from it. Yes, they can, you know, turn the radio off and not read the paper and whatnot. But if you get the football club, there's an element of tension with weeks like this. There's heightened expectation on the performance. So this week in particular at Carlton will be one, you know, where they're completely on edge. And you would, yeah, you would be shocked if there wasn't a huge response on Sunday against Adelaide, which, you know, might lead to the problem. If there is a response off the back of this really tough, agonising week, then what is the issue? I'll just quickly finish on this point saying it's a really tough one because Carlton have been, like, their individual players have been singled out pretty strongly this week in the media. Mm. Unfairly, to the extent at times, I think there's, you know, they would be getting clips behind the ear internally, but that's happening at 9 out of 10 clubs across the competition. Some of this defensive transition and non-effort and all of that. At times in the media, we can pick and choose a little bit to say, "Oh, here the spotlight's on this club. Who are we going to go after? The high-end players." And you know, you can, if you look hard enough, you're going to find some stuff. Not to say that some of these players aren't faultless, but nature of our industry, it's been a bit of a tough week to absorb a lot of this commentary around some individuals.
Yeah, it has. And you've landed it there, but I just think it's so interesting. I don't have the answer for this. If I did, I'd probably be still on a list and everyone would be the expert. But it was really cool, the differing points this week, I think. For me, I was thinking, well, look, the list is so good. You know, is the coaching staff not getting the most out of the players? This is the best the list has been in a long time. You know, they've built this, you know, obviously there's been some picks that aren't been great, but the list in itself is great. But then Robbo actually did a great article, I think, yesterday saying, well, this list chose Teague. They went to bat for him, so go and play for him. And you can't just chop and choose when it's enough for you. So I really liked that point from Robbo. And as a player, it was hard to hear. I was like, oh, shit, you know, you're actually right. Like, these blokes said, we love Teague, we love him. Mm. And now when it's not going as well, it's what happens.
That relationship between playing group and coach is a fascinating one. I had a good chat to a mate this morning about the Geelong situation. And however you think about Joel Selwood, whatever you think of those incidents, you know, your opinion is your opinion, and I've got my own. But what is overwhelming is the way Chris Scott publicly defends his players.
And Damien Hardwick.
And to be fair, David Teague for a long time this season. But he's been, you know, the one that's been stoic and absorbing a lot of the pressure. But it's when Chris Scott comes out and says that, and that's consistent, the way he looks after his players and is loyal to his players. Even he spoke recently on Jordan Clark and said, you know, we love him and he knows what's going on. It's depth of talent. So he's always supporting his players. And to that point, you see what they go and produce. The way Joel Selwood plays, yes, the weekend incidents, let's leave them to the side. But the way he unconditionally commits to the contest, there's a lot in it. I'm doing it for the bloke up in the box there and the whole club because he's so loyal to me.
Mm. It's an interesting situation evolving at the Gold Coast Suns too, and it sort of comes back to Dill's point where if you had 100,000 members of the Gold Coast Suns, I'm sure there'd be a lot more pressure on them externally at the moment. How are you reading that situation at the moment? Because I'm sure Stuart Dew was coaching at Collingwood or in Essendon, the pressure on that playing group would be felt. But you've lived it up there. Do you feel it as much being sort of off Broadway?
Not as much, Andrew. No. It is as you mentioned, it's off Broadway, and that comfort of avoiding the spotlight, you know, is there. But at the same time, there is, an element to being a professional athlete that kind of pressure you've got to absorb and you've got to galvanise it. And I guarantee that the guy I've spoken a little bit on this topic. We've spoken a lot about this. So I look at the list and I look at 5 players who I think would be really wearing this an incredible torture to them, that their club's under siege and it's just not clicking. And those are the guys like Tuke Miller, you see the way he plays and commits to it. David Swallow, who was injured himself on the weekend. Sam Collins is another one. A guy, Nick Holman, is one I use in his example because he just plays on edge and the reason he gets a game is the way he commits to the contest. The others, there's a large group there at the moment that have high-end talent and I think it's a bit picking and choosing. How to get that message? Once you get the weight of numbers in the camps of the Millers, the Collinses, the Jarrett Witzes when he's playing, the guys that commit week in, week out, white shorts, red shorts, Perth, Mars or Gold Coast, you need to shift that number to the majority, and then the performances will start to shift and the consistency in effort, or the consistency in being competitive is the issue.
So an interesting one is Fremantle, obviously, because they saw under Ross Lyon go to that elite level, and we know what effect Ross Lyon had at St Kilda when he dropped those two All-Australians back to the VFL in Milne and Del Santo, and everyone, Nick Riewoldt's spoken about this a few times, where everyone thought, oop, there is no excuse for anyone anymore, and that's the standard that had been set. Can you remember a time, either of you both in your careers, where there was that moment where you could feel the shift to go, or is it something that happens over a gradual process, or is there a penny drop moment where, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe he got dropped?
Yeah, well, look, I didn't have too much success, but I do remember in the year that the Giants did make the grand final, they started the year off really slow. And there was a few bad losses early in that year. And we actually went down, and again, 9 times out of 10, this doesn't work. But we went down to a session, did a beach session down at Manly. And it didn't actually quite work because the water was really nice at that stage. But it was, you know, the theory of it was to have a bit of a heart-to-heart, you know, a bit of boxing and all that sort of stuff. And from there, the next week...
Heart-to-heart, then the boxing?
It's just I think it was the other way around, actually. Yeah, I think it was the other way around. After that, we flew to Adelaide the next week and had never actually beat the Adelaide Crows. And the boys put on one of the best performances that they've ever had, beat Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. And that there's 4 wins, I think, on the Giants board. They have these special wins. And that was one of them that really sort of catapulted them into contention with the finals.
Yeah, a couple at Fremantle was when Ross rocked up. There was physical physical standards you need to be to. Skin folds, running times, all of that. And the skin fold was 60, I think, skin fold measurement to be able to train. And I'd say half the group was outside of that. The interesting one was Matthew Pavlich was just over it. And it was one of those, a point in time where, like, this could go either way. And history would suggest Pav, you know, 62, margin of error, might be a tough day or something wrong with the calipers. But Ross said, no, till the next measurement, the next week, you're running laps and not joining in training. And it was a bit of a moment in time where you're like, oh, jeepers, this is fair dinkum.
Yep.
The skipper's over there and he was wearing it. He was very amazing in the way he wore that situation and got to work. And within a week, he's back out there and Pav is Pav and probably takes his game to another level. The other, and one more, similar to probably the Gold Coast situation, Carlton situation. There's going to be a club next week that's probably under the similar amount of pressure. It might be one of these two clubs again. But when Fremantle played a qualifying final down in Geelong, it was this sense of, and this is Ross Lyon's brilliance, it's like, it's us against everyone. You know, let's embrace this attitude that it's us against everyone. Carlton will be feeling that this week. Gold Coast to a certain extent as well. Everyone wants us to fall off the cliff. Everyone expects us to lose. Everyone is catering for that situation that we're no chance. So you know what? Go give them a big up yours and embrace this challenge of we're the underdog, and the people in this room and the people in this environment can help us. No one else really can.
Yeah, it's a fascinating insight. We've got about 50 seconds left. So before I let both of you go, have you got this week, Werribee?
Werribee, we have North Melbourne on Saturday afternoon at Arden Street. So a few people walking their dogs, hoping for some good announcements on the...
fingers crossed.
...on the crowd situation.
And Dil, who you're running for this week?
This week, I'm going to call Collingwood, see if they want me to have a run for this.
And before you let us go, Andrew, we're just in our pre-match when we're getting ready. I go up and play a bit of footy in Darwin in the off-season just to get my fix. And Dil had the nerve. He goes, who do you play for? It was like Southern Districts. And he goes, I might come up and play a couple of games. I'm like, and he was, I think you were sick. I still don't know whether you're serious or not.
That's how twisted my mind is to think that I can actually say I'm going to do it. And I know wholeheartedly there is no way I'm going to go and do that. But I still want to make him feel better about himself. I don't know what it is.
Fantastic. God. Good luck. You got some training to do as well, clearly.